Before I begin my homily, just have a couple of announcements. First of all, many people have asked what they might be able to do concretely for the people, to help the people in Ukraine, especially the refugee crisis that it has created. And you can see in my column in the bulletin this week, you can give through Catholic Relief Services, which goes directly to help the people of the Ukraine. And it's crs.org, very easy to go there and you see, and you can help the Ukrainian people there. I understand too, the Knights of Columbus on their national website also has a way to help. So please do let us together try to help and continue, of course, to pray for peace. Now, secondly, those of you who have known me for now, this is my 11th time that I will tell you only one time in the year about the bishop's annual appeal. Now, keep in mind, this is being recorded, so the bishop is going to be able to look at this anytime he wants. Now, normally what the diocese asks us to do is over a period of 5 weeks to have various people come up and talk, including myself, others, to show you a video during Mass and have pledge weekend and all of that. My deal that I've done all the time has been, as long as we make our goal, which this year is 140,000, as long as we make our goal, this is the only time you will hear it. So, it is wonderful and it is important, and especially as we have a new bishop coming in, what a great way for us as a parish to show that we support him. It's a way for us to do Catholic work, right? That is work outside of the boundaries of our parish. Our parish does a lot of good, great things, but this is a way for us to join with the bishop in order to do even more stuff. The annual appeal has ministry and outreach with critically important programs and ministries, emergency assistance to parishes, ethnic ministries programs, formation, child protection, family life, and more. Also, it assists Catholic Charities, which does an incredible amount of work in our diocese, which covers the whole state of South Carolina, by the way. They run a assisted living facility, counseling services. They help, of course, the Valley, right here. It's run by Catholic Charities. They do dental and wellness care for the poor. They have showers for homeless people and washing their clothes. Great things. Also, our Catholic schools. The annual appeal supports the 29 Catholic elementary schools and 4 diocesan high schools, and not to mention college campus ministry. Those of you who know, that is such a critical time to reach out to our young people. That's often when we lose them, is in that college time. And it says wonderful programs around the 21 colleges and universities in South Carolina that we are able to help. And it trains the campus ministers and such. It also helps fund youth and young adult ministry in parishes, hugely important. Retreats and weekend-long camps and national conferences, faith development, just so much more. Of course, vocations, helping to nurture the call of young men for the priesthood and young women for the consecrated life. It supports our 25 seminarians and the discerners who are on deck to join the seminary coming up. Also, it helps our retired priests, these men who have given their entire lives to our diocese, even though we know they never really stop working, but they do need help with the pension and stuff like that. In all, it's just an incredible program, annual appeal that does so much good, and I encourage you to please do it. Now, most of you, if you registered the parish, you've received information at your home address. But if not, we have a pamphlet that tells you all of the great things and more, and a little pledge card thing that you can fill out. You can also do it online as well. If you go to the diocesan website, you'll find it there. And so St. Mary's has always been so generous, and everything that we do over our goal comes back to us. Well, half of that comes back to us. And again, we've always hit that mark and have been so generous. So I appeal to you again, please do not make me show the video during Mass, okay? I don't want to do that, and they'll make me if we don't hit our goal. So We're going to hit our goal, as always. Thank you for your generosity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In his gospel account, St. Luke tells us that those three disciples, three apostles, Peter, John, and James, were sleeping when Jesus took them up and was praying with them on the mountain. Now, later on in this gospel and the other gospels, we find the same three apostles sleeping again in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before our Lord's passion and death. But back to the mountain. As Peter, John, and James awake, they see Jesus transfigured before them. It's a word that signifies a change in appearance, change of form. So remember, the entirety of Lent, all of Lent, the season, is a preparation for Easter, right? The glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ in a glorified human body. This is what St. Paul is talking about in that second reading. Jesus is already in his glorified body now, which he is going to share and with us at the end of time. So here on this mountain, we see an anticipation of Jesus before the resurrection in his glory. What he does is he allows the veil of his humanity to go thin for a moment so that his divinity within him shines through. And he does it in order to strengthen these apostles so that they themselves will be able to get through what's coming and help others as well. Now, Peter, James, and John also see Elijah and Moses. Now, we should all know, of course, both of these men figure significantly in the history of Israel and in our Judeo-Christian faith. Moses, you may recall, climbed Mount Sinai, and there he received the revelation of God. He received his mission, and he asked God on top of that mountain to show him his glory. But the book of Exodus tells us that God did not. He would only show Moses, Exodus says, his back. Now, that's not literally, right? It's meaning that Moses was not able to see the full glory of God. And he made a similar revelation to Elijah on the same mountain. Now, unlike these two episodes with Moses and Elijah, in the Transfiguration, it is not Jesus who goes up to receive the revelation of God. Rather, it is precisely in Jesus that God reveals himself and reveals his face to the apostles. Remember what Moses was seeking. The face that Moses wasn't allowed to see, these apostles now are able to behold. And now Moses himself as well. So the message is, first, if anyone wishes to know God, if you wish to see God, then contemplate the face of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect revelation of the Father's holiness and mercy. Jesus is the face of God, literally. Now, we also recall something else that happened on Mount Sinai with Moses. You remember how Moses received the revelation of God in the Ten Commandments, not suggestions, commandments. And it was on the same mountain, the same one that Elijah received from God, the divine revelation of his own mission that he was to undertake. Now, Jesus, however, did not receive the revelation of what he was to do. He already knew that. Instead, it was the apostles who heard God's voice in the cloud, commanding, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Jesus doesn't receive the message like Moses and Elijah did. Jesus is the message. Listen to him. And here's the point. God's will was fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. If you and I truly, honestly want to live in unity with the will of God, We must follow Jesus, listen to him, and accept his words. That's what it means to say that Jesus is the eternal Word of God come down to earth, the Word made flesh. Listening to him, following him, is the same thing as listening to God and following God. He is light from light, true God from true God. Once again, Jesus is not merely a great prophet, a wonderful teacher, or a really nice man. He is God in the flesh. Now, this Lent, I want to encourage each and every one of us to grow in this knowledge and love of Jesus Christ, both as individuals and as a parish community, this family that we are, the witness that we are called to give corporately together. Encounter him frequently, even daily, here in the most sacred liturgy, the most holy Eucharist, we call the Mass. Find him by listening to his word and prayer, also in works of charity where we see his face in the poor and the abandoned, and above all, by receiving him as heavenly food, body, blood, soul, and divinity. God is light, not darkness. And Jesus longs to give his closest friends the experience of his light, which dwells within him. And you are his friends. He invites you and me up the mountain. Now, after the event, after the apostles have witnessed this mountaintop experience, Jesus becomes then for them an inner light that can protect them from any darkness. Even in the darkest of nights, Jesus is the lamp that never goes out. Friends, we all need that inner light to overcome the trials of life, to overcome grief and depression, disappointments, all of the trials that we all go through. And if you haven't gone through them, you're either not human or not old enough. This light comes from God, and it is Jesus who gives it to us. If you want this light that can overcome any darkness, climb with Jesus the mountain of prayer. And contemplating his face full of love and truth through prayer, allow yourself then to be filled with his light. Now, friends, this morning I'm going to tell you something that no one else in this day and age will tell you. Don't be yourself. Now, that's anathema in our world today, right? Don't be yourself. Allow Jesus to shine through your humanity. Be another Christ. Be another Jesus. That's the whole point of Christian, to be him in this world, to allow him to shine through us, right? When people see us, they should see him. So dying to self so that he can live in us, we actually find ourselves more. God the Father tells us, he commands us, listen to him. It is so simple. Listen to Jesus. There is so much noise around us today, so much of it of our own making. Use this gift of Lent to carve out today and every day to simply listen to him. And like those chosen apostles, Peter, James, and John, you will also find the strength and light that you will need for whatever may come your way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.